Okay, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. And we've looked at the word spiritual as an adjective. You must always ask, what is the Spirit? And from Paul's writing, 1 Corinthians 1:2-4, 2:10-16, and that's why I gave you the background study of where he said, who has known the mind of God and instructs him, we have the mind of Christ, Isaiah 40:13, that who is referring to there is Jesus, and then 1 Corinthians 6:11, you are sanctified, you are washed, you are justified, in the name of our Lord our God, and by the Spirit, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by the Spirit of our God, and he's saying that is the Spirit of our God, and 1 Corinthians 6:17, you are joined with the Lord, you are one Spirit. And I asked you since to take note of the word one. And you see that John used it a whole lot. One. And that one is to put your attention on Old Testament writings. The oneness, a singularity of Old Testament explanation, promises, and prophecy. So, again, the word spiritual is an adjective. It qualifies. It explains the work of the Spirit, which we have said is where you have spiritual. I want to go over what I said earlier in 1 Corinthians 2, where it says, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, 2:14, but they are foolishness unto him, they are spiritually discerned, we cannot know them. That's Isaiah 40:13, the one we saw earlier. So in looking at, before Paul got into the entire issue of tongues, demonstration of the power of God, believers' meetings and all that, he had laid the foundation that I'm discussing Christ. I'm discussing Christ in his resurrection. In 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, this is the gospel. Christ raised from the dead. So the Christ alive is the Spirit that he discusses in 1 Corinthians. That's it. I said, that's your theology. We said the theology of the Bible. The Bible, the book of theology, shows God. All other religions have their own theology. But the Bible's theology is Christology. And so Christology is from where we have the pneumatology, ecclesiology, soteriology, eschatology. They are all events of Christ. They are all the work of Christ. Again, don't forget that when they use spiritual, 1 Corinthians 10:3-4, and 1 Corinthians, yep, talking about describing the utterance of the Old Testament, the prophets about Jesus. And then, 1 Corinthians 12:3, no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus a curse, and no man can say that Jesus is loved by the Holy Ghost. We said that summarizes the utterances of the Old Testament. 1 Peter 1:9-11, 2 Peter 1:19-21, Hebrews 4:2. And of course, Luke 24:25-27, all fools slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory. So, when you say enter into his glory, that is the Spirit, right? Come on. That is the Spirit. So, when we say that the gospel is Christ raised from the dead, you know, we're not talking about a past event. That's why the finished work mantra might be misleading if it's not properly explained. Yes, finished in the sense that God has fulfilled that promise in his Son, but really it's an ongoing fact because Christ is alive. And so he's been raised from the dead there. It's an ongoing reality found in the saints. Does it make sense? Does it make sense? So in 1 Corinthians 15, where we find him, that's Jesus, called the last Adam, in 45, the life-giving spirit. Pneuma is used there, Zopohil. The life-giving spirit. Don't forget that Romans 8 as well. When Paul, Romans 8 verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the spirit of life, where? In Christ Jesus. Has made them free from the law of sin and death. What? Law cannot be obeyed in the flesh. God said his own Son, because of sinful flesh, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk under the flesh, but under the Spirit. Those that the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, those that the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Says the carnal mind is not so, is limited towards God, not so ready to love God, neither can it be. So those that are in the flesh cannot please God. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you or is in you. If any has not the Spirit of Christ, is none of his. Now take note of verse 10. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. Okay, the body is dead. What do you mean by the body is dead? That's not your physical body now. That's Romans 6:6. The body of sin is dead, crucified. And the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Jesus from the dead will quicken your mortal bodies by him that dwells in you. It says, therefore, brethren, we are not debtors to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you will die. But if you through the Spirit, and again, that's why I have issues with the use of their pronouns. If you through the Spirit, you know, if through the Spirit, the deeds of the body are mortified in you, which is the deeds of the old man, then you are alive. For as many as are led by, so that can be your work, by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption, the spirit of sons. That is, we are sons like him. Hereby we cry, Abba Father. The Spirit is not better than that we are. So in other words, he's saying that there is a one. Can you see that? One in the Spirit. One. So you only distinguish. You can't separate. It's one Spirit. And the way he says, I and the Father are one. The way I and the Father are one, therefore we are one. Now, that means you can only distinguish the Father. You can't separate. And he now mirrors it with the believer. You can only distinguish. You cannot separate. So, the Father and the Son is called the Spirit, right? Or is referred to as his. Come on, are you there? Now, the believer in identification in Christ, the Father, the Son, and the believer in is also called what? The Spirit. Is it making sense? Uh-huh. So, spiritual there will be Christ's walk in redemption. Again, 1 Corinthians 15, where we came here in verse 45. All right, 45. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. So where do you get that from? That's Genesis 1:26 to 28, right? Come on. And then the tree of life, right? The Genesis 1. Now, look at the way Paul composes his terms. Heaven and earth, logos. Genesis 1:1. The Spirit of the Lord. The earth was without form and void, doho boho, which is where you have empty, nothing. And then the Spirit of the Lord, that's Moses, was upon the face of the deep. Then it says, light be. The Hebrew is actually like saying, me be. So it is that Spirit that is the light. So he now says in 2, the tree of life. Expressing the same thing. Genesis 1:26, let them have dominion, okay, subdue, replenish. So Paul goes into Genesis and says, can't you see that the first Adam, Genesis 2:7, was made a living soul? And in the Hebrew, the word living soul is the word neshama. N-E-S-H-A-M-A-H. From the word nasham. It means to pant, to be alive, to exist. But it says it is the last Adam that is a life-giving, which is a restoration. Replenish. Are you there? Life from the dead. They are all in the... That's why I told you in Genesis that the first two chapters and three chapters is the baseline of all Bible doctrine. You find the first Adam, the last Adam, the second Adam, all found there. Because in Genesis, you would have noticed that it appears like you saw two Adams, right? Are you following what I'm saying? That's where he got it from. They were actually two. One was restorative. Alright? Which is the Genesis 1:26-28. Now, so, all we call tongues, pay attention, tongues, the division of tongues, prophecy, can be found in Genesis 1:2. Or is that an afterthought? What about Genesis 1:26? Have dominion? Are they found in the tree of life? How about now? So, in God's restoration, He gives the born again man active spiritual faculties. Active spiritual faculties. And these are whose faculties again? The faculties of Christ, right? The faculties of Christ, the faculties of the Spirit. So when we say one body, is it the same as one Adam, one Spirit, one man? Okay. He's not holding our hands in Tabar Balewa Square. is our oneness in the Spirit, in that singular resurrection. Watch this now. So let's go back to Genesis 1 again, where I said, you look at 1. Let's see 1. 1. One man, Genesis 1:26-28. Male and female created he them. Then look at Genesis 2. In Genesis 2, you see Adam and Eve. Alright? Then, in Genesis 18, I'll make an help meet Ezar, which is where you ask deliverer, actually. So help meet is not your, somebody who cooks for you, that's housemaid. Okay? He doesn't say, Havana help meet, and then say, missing rib. You know, all those things are misunderstood. You know, say, I found my missing rib. Now, do you observe something? If you say your missing rib is one woman in Tokyo, okay, Japan is in the news now, anyway. That means Jesus had missing rib. No. Jesus is a different kind of man, eh? No, he's a man. Jesus had missing rib. So he was going around not complete. See, for not understanding Bible can create a lot of beliefs. Your helpmeet. Even somebody who doesn't have job says he has my helpmeet. What is he helping you to do? In many marriages, is the man. Is he? let me stop there. Let's stop there because I don't want to expand the narrative because there will be problem. So there's no issue not seeing what Moses was saying. So if Ezar help meet is somebody who delivers out, it's actually a word for deliverance, to help out of danger. Then every living creature, look at 22. Now the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. He took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. Moses is something else. He's something else. In the Greek, that deep sleep is actually death. The first time I saw this, I remember I was a Christokoti that said it in a teaching meeting. He just said it. He said the sleep of death. He now said God caused Adam to die. Then he brought Eve. For me, I was like, I never saw it. So I went to get the Hebrew. And so it's actually death. And from the death, when it came back to life, there was Eve. You think he's talking about husband and wife? Moses is talking about the church. Are you following this? So it was a scripture that made me see it. And he just said it personally. I think it was 1997, 6. No. 1994. You know, I once saw a series in Ikorodu 95 on the Garden of Eden. It was very controversial, so I just said I'll break it down over the years. Because, you know, lack of understanding of this is why people create, you know, all sort of. He slept a deep sleep, which is to die, to fall upon. He slept. He took on one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. Let's look at it. And very well. and you know, just be objective. Would Jehovah need to be removing this? It's just an imagery. Okay? Then he used ribs and said, well, I'm brought unto the man. This is the bone of my bone and the flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of the man. There shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife, shall be one flesh. Now, they shall be one flesh. Jesus now says, for this cause, whatever God has joined, let me put asunder. Look at Paul, Ephesians 5. You know, the only commentator you have on marriage in the epistles is Paul. Peter was just mild. He just said, if your husband doesn't believe, you obey by your good conduct. And he says, honor me to be good and make and Christ be. That's all Peter said. John, it's almost like John just said, for what? James has nothing, Jude has nothing. And every time Paul teaches marriage, the background is our union with Christ. Every time. I mean, there is not one instance. There are two places that makes it very obvious. Colossians 3 and Ephesians 5. Then there's 1 Corinthians 7. So look at Ephesians 5. It says, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, and the savior of the body. So the reason why the husband does what he does is because of Christ. Then he says, the church is a subject unto Christ, so the wife is loyal to the husband in everything. Husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself. So the marriage of the Bible is Christ and the church. It's funny that this is only used by people in wedding ceremonies. And if you have gotten married or you're about to, or you are now, you hardly even know the sermon. You just briefly go through this text carelessly. And if you look at how Paul reemphasizes this 3 times, you know it is not a marriage sermon. And he look at this. He says, he gave himself for it, verse 25, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present to himself a glorious church. Present to himself. Can you see the Genesis 2? Can you see it? Brought the woman to the man. Can you see it? That's what he's explaining, no? Having no spot, nor wrinkle, nor such thing, but should be holy and without blemish. Imagine going to Genesis 2 to be describing the way you met your parole on campus. That's nonsense. Who cares? 28. So husband ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. For no man ever yet eats his own flesh, or nourishes, even as Christ the church. For we are members of his body. Can you see it now? Can you see where the body came from? Of his flesh and his bone. Now let me ask you. Is the body there, not the spirit? Flesh and bone there are imageries of what? The spirit. Then he says, for this cause, can you see it now? Because of who we are in Christ, shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning what? You know, you have no doubt that he's teaching Genesis 2. Or are you having doubt? Or you think he's Ecclesiastes? So, the man Moses is speaking of who went into a deep sleep is Christ Jesus. And the woman was taken from the man. So you know the church is a product of Christ. God's word is consistent. So a true marital sermon or marriage sermon has to be built on Christology. Correct? Or let's say, can we have Mariology? Marriageology. So your marriageology must have its theology in Christology and in pneumatology. If it's ecclesiology. Stop spiritualizing it, y'all. I've heard you. So, we are one flesh with Christ in one spirit. Colossians 3. Husband, love your wives and not be bitter. Sorry, 18. Wives, submit yourselves as it is fit in the Lord. Colossians 3. Now look at 1 Corinthians 7. Now again, the background of 1 Corinthians 7 is 1 Corinthians 6. Now, verse 1. Concerning the things you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife and every woman have her own husband. Now, what was the background of this? 1 Corinthians 6, verse 15. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. Now, God forbid is not that God doesn't like it. It is impossible. So he says, what? Know ye not that which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, he says, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that commits fornication sins against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spiritual gods. So look at the background. Is still that Genesis 2, before he now teaches marriage in 1 Corinthians 7. So the background of all marriage teachings by Paul is the Christology of Scripture. That's Christology of the Scriptures. One man. So, go to 1 Corinthians 12. So, Christ in his resurrection says, what is that glory? The glory of his resurrection is that we are one in him. Amen. Amen. So, can we say the glory of the resurrection is one spirit? Huh? Come on. Yeah. So, 1 Corinthians 12. So, Paul's 1:1:1:1. Hope it is clear to you now. Huh? 1:1. One body, one bread. So when you are not discerning the Lord's body, it means you are not walking in the Spirit. The Lord's body is the Spirit. You are not walking in the Spirit. So 1 Corinthians 12 verse 4. So let's take it gradually. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I will not have ignorance. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus a curse, and no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. So, he again reminds you, because he's coming from 1 Corinthians 1, that the emphasis of ministry is Christ Jesus. It's his Spirit. Now, verse 4. So, one spirit, is it clear? Is it clear? So, when we say the Father in the Son, that is the Spirit. Okay? The believer in union with the Son is what? That is the Spirit. That's the allos paracletos, right? So, what happens is that Christ now finds expression through the believer. Correct? Is that what it is? Uh-huh. So don't go and say Jesus is the Father. Oh. Is it clear? Uh-huh. Jesus is not the Father. Oh. Some say, do we have two gods? Please leave me alone. 1 Corinthians 4. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Pay attention to something. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. A different person? Huh? You see a different person? Is the Spirit different from the Lord? The rest of operation is the same God that worketh all in all. Is the Lord different from the Spirit and God? No. Okay. So, a clear fact, before we go into gifts, that we do that this week, but I guess next week, the gifts and resources which we are going to delve into, let us know the basis. Whether you mention the Spirit in 4, or the Lord in 5, or God in 6, you are referring to the resurrection of Jesus. This is why he rose. That's what he's saying. Gifts, administration, and operation. So he mentions 8 things, which we'll avoid this week. Then 11, all this worketh the one and self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Put your attention on the one and self same Spirit. One and self same Spirit. For as the body is one, physical body, and has many members, and so all members of that one body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ. So also is Christ. I checked the Greek word there. It's the word kepha, an adverb. It's to show the similarity. So also is Christ. That is, Christ will be that one body. Verse 13. For by one Spirit are we baptized into one body. It looks like the Spirit is outside like this. So it takes us and puts us into a secondary thing. That would be very funny, right? This is the Spirit. This is the body. And this is you. So it drops you into the body. Then it's going around picking people and dropping them into the body. No. The body and the Spirit are the same thing. The body and the Spirit are the same thing. Whether we be bond or free, we'll be made to drink into one Spirit. Now put your attention on Ephesians. Okay. That word kapha is even as. Okay. Which is, you will discover that it's used in Romans 4:6. Just add this. Romans 4:6. From David. That is what I said is about David. It's for David. Romans 12:4. Very similar to this, the body and the gifts. 1 Corinthians 10:10 and 1 Corinthians 12:12. 2 Corinthians 1:14. 2 Corinthians 3:13. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You know when he says that we are changed into the same image from glory to glory. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. That is, the glory we are changed into is the Spirit of the Lord. It's not that the Spirit of the Lord is now is now doing the work. He told in 17, the Lord is that Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:17. So, even as, okay, we're back in 1 Corinthians 12. I didn't add this one. Just add it. It's just for study anyway. 1 Thessalonians 2:11. 3:12 and 4:5. Thessalonians 2:11, 3:12 and 4:5. Then Hebrews 4:2. What's he saying there? Hebrews 4:2. The gospel preached was as well as unto them. Okay? That is, I said that to show you what you have also heard. So, the explanation of the physical body by Paul is to show you how the Spirit, even though it's one, has distinctions in it. Like I said earlier, do not make the use of physical body here individual members in churches. No. It's the individual membership of one Spirit. And this again is in the resurrection. So the gifts, the ministries, and operations are in the Spirit, in the resurrection. So 13, by one Spirit are you baptized and you have been made to drink. That's a bit similar to what we read earlier. So one Spirit is 1 Corinthians 6:17. You are joined to the Lord, one Spirit. By one Spirit, the word by there is the word in one spirit. So change that in your translation. In one spirit we are baptized. That is, that we are in the spirit means we are in the body. So when he says whether Jew, Gentile, that already is pre-Abraham for you. And you are made to drink potison, made to drink potison, which is derived from the word pino that he used in 1 Corinthians 10:4. Made to drink. Now, how did we drink into the spirit? By believing the gospel. Because when he uses it, they will believe the gospel. 1 Corinthians 10:3-4, drink into one spirit, into one spiritual drink. 1 Corinthians 10:3-4. We are made to drink. So, every explanation there from verse 14. The body is not one member but many. That is now describing the diversity in the spirit. He now uses a physical body. God has set the members, everyone, verse 18. He's still talking about the physical bodies. They say some may not have honor more than the others. The physical body. Don't bring this illustration into church meetings or among believers. This is a description of the diversity of the spirit. That just like the body has diversity in itself, this one body, one spirit, equally has diversities. Are you following this? So verse 27. Now, you are, now, verse 27, you are the body of Christ. And members in particular. Pay attention. And God has set some in the church. Firstly, apostles. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Then, gifts of healings. Helps, governments. That's your tongues. Why then did he say, you are? Just hold on. Then he says, are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Now, no doubt he's talking about the constituents of one body. So the term, you are the members, members in particular, will contradict the word you are members. Because the word particular there means meros, divided. A division of the body. Meros is where you have merismos, Hebrews 2:4, merizo, Romans 12:3. So, you mean what he has been saying earlier is, we are the body of Christ. Members in particular, we are different. And so, God put us all differently into Christ. No. We were baptized into one spirit. So, we were not added to Christ. We found the distinction in Christ. So by saying you are the body of Christ, members in particular will be contradictory. That we together, we are the body of Christ, then we now are distinctive. Will mean that God gathered us. So now, since all of us didn't get saved the same day, which means every time somebody gets born again, he's what? Added to the body of Christ. So what will be his role? He will be apostle. But he said God has already set it. Or he comes, is added, but he's not added. There's something that should be understood that by that verse. Are you following what I'm saying here? Because if the body of Christ in this instance is a function of people coming into Christ, that means it will keep growing. But if the body of Christ is the work of the resurrection of what God has done already, and we find the distinctions therein, then it is what we discover when we are saved. So if that is it, calling you the body of Christ will totally contradict what he's saying. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Do you get what I'm talking about? If you are the body of Christ, you, in the sense of you are that member he's talking about. Okay? That means as we keep adding members, we keep increasing in number. So, if at that point, the church in Corinth is, or those who have gotten saved at that point, are the apostle, prophet, teacher, worker of miracle, helps, government, gifts of healing, tongues. Good. So, the body of Christ has a year, as at AD 60. So, AD 61, when I get saved and I join, that's not when I got saved. When I get saved and I join, what will you call me? Since the body of Christ refers to individuals as they get saved, what will you call me? Apostolic teacher. So, which means the body of Christ is already what God has set. You, by one spirit, are found in that one body. One body, one spirit are the same. So, we'll have to explain you are. And by the things he said afterwards, are all, referring to the different members of the body, different functions of the spirit. So Paul is not talking practice until 12:31. He now uses an active word, desire. That leads him to 13 and 14. So, a lack of understanding of 12 may, you know, I said something. If you look at 1 Corinthians 11, when you come together, 17, 18, 19, and 33, and 34, you will now see it again in chapter 14, from verse 23 to 26. So, in other words, if you remove 1 Corinthians 12, and just leave 14 or 13. All you will read is, when you come together, you share food, walk in the spirit. When you come together and you give tongues, interpret. So 12 is to lay the foundation for the practice of 14. And in the middle of it, it talks about love. So the desire should be love. In other words, the practice is not found in 12. The practice is found in 14. Hence what I said earlier, that if you are teaching any congregation or denomination about the gifts of the Spirit, ensure that you lay a solid foundation. Very solid. Ensure your pneumatology is found in the Christology of Scripture. Let's move forward. Look at Ephesians 4. Hope you are learning something. Alright. Now, follow this emphasis. Verse 1. Wherefore, the prisoner of the Lord, Paul now, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Don't forget that he had started this statement by saying spiritual blessings. Then he mentions Ephesians 1:13, the seal of the Spirit, which is the Spirit of promise. Ephesians 2:18 says by one Spirit we have access to the Father. Now, in 4, he now says the bond of peace. 4:4, one body, which is one Spirit. Are you there? Can you see it? Even as you are called in the one hope of your calling. Then verse 5. One Lord. One faith. One baptism. One God and Father of all. Who is above all and through all and in you all. So, and he uses the word one, which is the Greek singular, one. Then he gets to 7. Unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure, matron, which is to now distinguish in that one the measure of the gifts of Christ. Wherefore he says, when he ascended up on high, he left captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, but what is it also descended first in the lower parts of the earth. He that ascended is the same also that ascended far up above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Listen well. In other words, he is again describing the resurrection as the gift of Christ. So you first of all have one singular gift. Then measures of the gift. One singular gift and measures. So when he gave gifts, he gave himself. He gave himself unto men. The gift of Christ is Christ himself. In that gift we now have measures. Distinctions. Listen well. Now, just back up a little bit and look at something John wrote about when Jesus rose from the dead. And then he came to the 12 and he says, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. John 20:21. Now the question is, send me where? Okay, he sent him to where? Okay, is he saying the Father sent me to the world? No. Even so send I you. Now, again, in John 14, he had explained that. Listen carefully. He will send the Holy Ghost in my name. You remember that? And I said that Jesus used a third person pronoun as though he's talking about somebody else. So, as my Father has sent me, that is Christ in the resurrection. This is why I am sending you. So, in other words, the work of the apostles, consequently all the ministers, is the work of Christ through the church. So, the sending there is not a sending of another person. Wait from the promise of the Father, which I will send to you. Luke 24:49. I will send to you. Acts 1:4. Which you have heard of me. So, the focus is still on. Even when he's using a third person pronoun, he's only describing himself in an event. So, when he says, convince the world of sin, that is Christ walking through us, right, to preach the gospel. Lo, I am with you, are you following? Always. Matthew 28:20. Now, so, when he says, he will take the things of mine and reveal it to you. I told you the other day, that happened in Luke 24. Because what he simply did for them is to fulfill what he told them, you cannot bear them now. Did they bear it in Luke 24? Yes. Now, who was teaching them in Luke 24? The Allos Parakletos. Are you following what I'm saying? Who opened their understanding? Christ. Who did he say will open their understanding? The Allos Parakletos. So where was... Don't get confused. He's describing that same event. Are you following? Now see this. So, in other words, what Paul is describing here are the different functions of Christ in the resurrection. The different functions of Christ. So, when he gave apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. If you put it together, what is it called? One body. Right? If you put it together, it's called one spirit. So, can we start by saying, look up please. Jesus, in his resurrection, came to us as the gift of Christ. But when you look at how he's divided, you will find apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Do you understand what he's saying there? So he didn't give gifts. Do you understand? The gift of Christ is Christ himself. And look at what I'm about to say. Oh, he didn't give it to the body. That is how the body came in the resurrection. That is the body in the resurrection. There's no drama there. Amen. You don't like that. That is Christ. So, what you are describing in Ephesians 4:11, Paul was not describing individuals. He was describing individual functions in Christ. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So it is not first of all about you and I. It's first of all about Christ in his resurrection, distinguished this way. Don't forget the key word, one body, one spirit, one man. And when you say one, what are you referring to? The incarnation or the resurrection? Thank you. That's where we are united. So in our unity with God in Christ, this is what we're going to find. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Now, look at something again. I want to remove something from our thinking. And God is going to help me. Let's even look at the things he mentions here. Now, in the four Gospels, were all the 12 called apostles? They were his apostles, right? Look at it now. Luke 6:13. Whom he named apostles, apostolos. You know very well that their apostolic office actually took off upon the resurrection. Just put that somewhere. Now, in Matthew 10, what does he call them? Verse 40. He that receives you receives me. He that receives me receives him that sent me. He that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet. Matthew 10:41. So, what does he call them? Prophet. Okay. Now, when he sent them to go and preach, that is Shuwajelizo. He also called their function what? Evangelist. Matthew 28:20. He asked them to teach. Look at Matthew 9. Verse 36. When Jesus saw the multitude, he saw them as sheep having no shepherd. Then he says, the harvest truly is plenteous, the laborers are few. Pray ye, Lord of the harvest, that he may send for laborers to the harvest. Shepherds. In John 21, where he spoke with Peter in the resurrection, lovest thou me more than this, feed my lambs. In 16, feed my sheep. In 17, feed my sheep. A word used equally for pastoring. So, no doubt, and Luke 24:47, preach, you know, no doubt, whatever Paul has listed in, listen carefully, whatever he just listed in Ephesians 4:11, is mirroring the four Gospels. Is mirroring the four Gospels. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Or pastoring teacher. It's mirroring that. So as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. So whatever we are doing today is Christ through us. We are not doing it for him. We are not becoming something by him. Mm-mm. He is finding expression through us. So the first thing you need to do is that Ephesians 4:11. First of all, see it in one. And one spirit, one body, one Lord. The gift of Christ. Paul says, together is one body. But separately is in measure. So the measure of Ephesians 4:7 is what he describes in Ephesians 4:11. Let me quickly mention something. When he talks about the body, he talks about the head. Again, Paul's imagery should be understood. If he says the head and the body, of course the Greek for the head is the word kephale, K-E-P-H-A-L-E. If you observe, whenever he's referring to us and Christ, he uses the Adam and Eve narrative, which is in 1 Corinthians 11. The man was formed, then the woman. The woman was of the man. Now, pay attention to something. The way he uses head is not the way you are seated. Your head is here, your ear is there. No. Head means source. Source. This is where you got this from. So Christ being the head of the body is not a member. He is the source. So when Eve was called mother of the living, in the sense of the church, that means she will give expression, the church now, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, will give expression to the dominion promise that is found in Christ. That's the preaching of the gospel. So if you say the body is still one man, so the body now becomes the expression of one man. So the body of Christ will be seen one body, and then the expression of Christ. Head and body. Head is the source, body will be the expression. Are you there? Are you following? So now, does this flow with John 14:13, whatever you ask, that will I do? Huh? That the Father may be glorified in the Son. That will I do. Now, what is the reality of that? The Spirit of truth. So this truth will be found in the Spirit in the resurrection. So when you first say apostle, apostle is Christ. Prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. That's Christ's function in the earth. But we are one. So his body, that is the expression, is now where we have the distinctions. But it's one spirit and one body. So hear this down. Someone used to pay very good attention. The fundamental fact is teach these things he's calling gifts. We'll see it. Not as persons, but as a person. The expression of a singular person. Measures. So in Ephesians 4, don't skip verse 7. The gift of Christ. Doria, the grace, and then the gift of Christ. Ephesians 4:7. Then he said he gave gifts to men, the word doma, meaning something to benefit in his resurrection. What we're going to do next week is we're going to look at why he uses charisma and doma differently. We'll probably have to extend it beyond next week. So the allos paracletos has to be Christ in resurrection. Receive ye the Spirit. whoever sins you remit. You know that if you were in the four gospels and he says that, and whoever sins you retain, that gives you a remembrance of what he said throughout the four gospels. So which means he put them in Christ's stead. John 20:23, not really. He puts Christ in them, in their stead. So Christ will be finding expression through us. So ministry gifts, allow me to use that phrase, is not a separate entity. They are entities in one body, one Christ. So when I got born again, I came in union with it. I didn't come with it. I came in union with it. I didn't bring it. It's the body of Christ. It is Christ in his resurrection. So therefore, when we have diversities, the diversities are found in one spirit, in one body, and in one God. That is why if we can help a new translation and stop using those things in plural. You know, it would have been better to say diversities of gifts. The same spirit. Diversities of ministry. The same Lord. Diversities of operation. So, my mind should go to the same gift. The manifestation is given. So, I will need to now look into it. Not look for it. So the plural, in as much as I know that the plural flows from diuresis, but it should have been left that way. So that the singularity of what he's saying will stay. If that is done, nobody will be thinking there's something he does not have. So people get confused, for example. You see, Timothy is a pastor here. He's this one here. He's also called an apostle here. Don't be confused. Christ is all. Hallelujah. Christ is all. Don't be confused. Someone said it doesn't know anybody who has ever held two ministry gifts together. All the 12 had all the 4 or 5. So, why it is often said that way is because that pneumatology is taught separate. And look at, did you notice how Paul built his case? Who noticed it? Did you notice it? That he came from redemption, resurrection before he got to that point. The moment you start from the end, you will confuse yourself. So ministry gifts are first and foremost Christ's expression. He is the head of the body. So, where we will do our work after this is the local church. The assembly of saints. In the assembly of saints, which is a physical gathering, we will now see that distinction, even though there is no distinction. So, in the body of Christ, we have one spirit, one Lord, one faith, one gift. Amongst believers who now see distinction in function. So it's one. Let's say this quickly so that we'll take a short break in the last session. Now, whatever is not found in the resurrection cannot be called ministry gift. So, if they say, what is the expression of Christ? You know, you can only use the following: apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Or, let's even look at the gifts, diaresis of the gift. We say word of knowledge, word of wisdom, the sign of spirit, tongues, after of tongues, prophecy, gifts of healings, workings of miracles, and gifts of faith. Now, there's nothing wrong in talents, but you see, it's not a post-resurrection reality. It's not in the body. It's not in the body. The body is in the resurrection. You cannot be creative in ministry. Because it's not dependent on our disposition. It's a fact of his resurrection. So I say, well, my own apostle is in the marketplace. Or what else? Well, I'm into whatever you are into. Christ has to be into it. Do you understand? So, ministry gifts is... And the reason why this is vital is because the last session I'm going to point this out. Ministry gifts must be seen from the resurrection. It is first ministry gift. The gift of his ministry, then in it, we now make distinctions. So call it this way. These are the things that Christ does. But he does it through us. Another comforter. Amen.